This is our first episode of a new podcast that we are producing, and I'm very excited to join by Julia from Freedom Collaborative today. Julia, it's so nice to speak with you. Thank you for your time.
Hi, everyone, and hi, Kamal. I'm very happy to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
So, Julia, we have known each other for a while as a cross-globalism member of Freedom Collaborative, and we have participated in many of your initiatives over the years. Tell our listeners who are not familiar with the platform and what is Freedom Collaborative.
Thank you, Kamal. So Freedom Collaborative is the largest online community platform for service providers and activists that are working to end human trafficking, forced labor, and exploitation around the world. So what we do is that we bring together practitioners, civil society groups, and government and private stakeholders to share their expertise, advice, and support, and also to collaborate on different projects and initiatives. So we have almost 5,000 members now from 115 countries, and we focus on community building. So we provide a weekly global newsletter that gives an update on what's happening around the world, and we also host expert discussions once a month on a wide range of topics. So we also work with partners on joint data collections, publications. So it's really about enabling creator information sharing and supporting members in working together.
Awesome. Thank you. We are really a great fan of the platform. It's so excited to see the community grows over the last years. And I'm curious, you have been working on the platform for such a long time now. Can you share how it started and the journey to where it is now? What are some of the things that you have learned in trying to bring everyone together?
So Freedom Collaborative was launched in 2016. It was launched by Liberty Shared with support from another organization called Chapdai International. And it was launched as an online platform to facilitate cross-border cooperation between anti-trafficking service providers in Asia. So at the time, we had victim care service providers, they didn't like have a way to find partners in other countries. So for example, when a Cambodian organization would be dealing with a case in Malaysia, they didn't know who is working there and who they could potentially reach out to support. So the initial idea for Freedom Collaborative as a platform was to provide a tool for these organizations to search for partners in different countries across the region and then directly contact them through the platform. So there's like a directory and a search, and then there was like private messaging to get in touch. And I will see one of the main learnings over the years has been that, this is also why Freedom Collaborative now looks very different than when it started, is that there is really a need for cross-regional collaboration. So not just collaboration within the region. So our community has expanded beyond Asia, it's now global. And we have, as I said, members from 115 countries. So it's gotten a lot bigger. And then I'll say the second learning is that the members are very keen to partner with other organizations, but they're very keen on, partnering on a whole range of initiatives. So while we initially thought they would mainly be looking for referral partners for cases, what we found is that they actually have a lot of what they need is a lot of programmatic advice. So these would be things like, how do I set up an effective prevention programs and what policies do I need in place in my organization? So there's a lot of discussion and really sharing of best practices among the organizations through the platform. In particular, in the last year, at the beginning of the pandemic, this is really where we've seen a lot of exchange. We started this Facebook group. I think you're a member. Where our members could share, updates and ask questions. And what we've got from feedback that this was really helpful for people, especially when the pandemic started. I think everybody was kind of unsure how to deal with the new situation and was really struggling to adapt their programs. Suddenly you can't go out anymore and meet your beneficiaries in person. So what our members said is that it was really helpful for them, how others are doing and how they're progressing with how do you move your outreach program and all your counseling online. And so this is really what we've seen again, there's a need for partners for referring cases, but also just to share very practical information. It's about helping each other to help those who need our support.
Wow. For us, it is really great to connect with others who are doing similar work. And I was inspired by a TED Talk by Gary Hogan, founder of IJM. He spoke about the hidden reasons of poverty. His talk really made me to think that slavery still exists and violence plays a major role in it. And I started to research more about it, and I went to Thailand to study on sex trafficking. Is this affecting other Southeast Asian countries? When I saw the real need in the world, I decided to do my part to fight against human trafficking. So I spoke to some of my friends and shared the vision of starting a nonprofit to fight against human trafficking and slavery. And we partnered with civil societies who are already on ground addressing the issue. We learned from our partners that bonded labor is more prevalent in my state and throughout India. We as a team decided to address the issue of bonded labor. So far, with the support of state government officials and civil societies, we were able to support hundreds of survivors of bonded labor through our advocacy and rehabilitation programs. It is helpful to connect with others and learn about their motivations. How did you get involved in this sector?
Well, I think this is really when I moved to Bangkok in 2013 for my master's, and I was studying in a small program at Chulalongkorn University, and the program was focused on studying migration and displacement in the region. And so this is really when I've learned for the first time really about human trafficking and just the many exploitation risks for migrants. So obviously, Bangkok is a hub for labor migration in the region, yeah. But we also talked about, and you know, we visited other countries, like we went to Myanmar and Vietnam, and just being there and having this perspective, it really became obvious to me that there are, you know, just a lot of communities at risk and that they really have very little protection. And so when I graduated, I wanted to continue working in the region. And so I joined this, at that time, a newcomer NGO called Liberty Asia. It is now called Liberty Shared. Mm-hmm. And Liberty Shared's mission is to support NGOs working on the front line of the anti-modern slavery community. And, you know, this was very appealing to me because I'm not a local, I'm not an expert, but I could support those who are already doing this work and who are really the experts in the field. And so how Liberty Shared supports them is through primarily two technology programs. They are both focused on just helping organizations to work more effectively. So one of the programs would be Freedom Collaborative, and then the other one is our victim case management system. So the VCMS, it's a Salesforce-based system, and we provide it to frontline organizations so they can store, share, and analyze their client data. So these will be data points like, you know, the names and agents of victims they're caring for. And they also, through the VCMS, collect data about where and when clients were exploited and the movement of victims across borders. I'll say before, you know, many NGOs, they have very poor record keeping in data management practices. It's often, all the data is often recorded in Excel spreadsheets or like on hard copies, so on paper. And this makes the reporting like for grants and to the government very time consuming. And also it doesn't have any, you know, they don't have any analytic functionality. So we are supporting them by offering the VCMS to have these functionalities. And we also train all their team on how to use the database and, you know, how to generate reports. And we offer the VCMS for a very small fee for licenses. So that is really affordable and also sustainable for the organizations to keep using the system.
That's very cool. I think this is really important work, as there are so many needs that the organizations have, and that we are as Cross Global also have. So it's great that you are producing these services. Now, I wanted to talk to you about partnerships and your views on why they are so important.
All right. Partnerships are very important. And I think what's always mentioned as a challenge within this field is that there is simply, you know, there are a lot of organizations involved and there are a lot of activities. And so if you're new, or even if you have been doing this work for a long time, it's just very difficult to have an overview of who is doing what. Mm. And naturally, we also see a lot of duplication. So one of the things that is very central to what we do and the kind of types of partnerships that we encourage is to support organizations in sharing their programs so that others can benefit. So for example, we're working with an organization called Missing. They're also from India, and they developed an educational program to protect Indian school children from abuse. And so we worked with them, and we had a workshop 2 weeks ago where other interested organizations could also learn about the program and provide feedback, and most importantly, discuss how they could adapt the program for their countries. So Missing is now working with child protection practitioners and organizations that are also interested in prevention efforts on adapting and then implementing the program in other countries. So I think this is kind of the type of partnerships we always try to encourage that I find very inspiring, because organizations can share something they developed and they can share it with others. And this way, they can also increase the impact. And this is just one example, you know, why I feel partnerships can be so beneficial and are so important to really make an impact against human trafficking.
That's so great to hear. Great to observe the changes in the field over the years and how organizations are coming up with innovative solutions. Cross Global is also using a technology to build a e-learning platform called Anti-Human Trafficking Learning Institute. Is this something you see as well?
You mean the adaption of technology?
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think we've seen a lot of programs now that are using technology in a very innovative way. And I think, while this isn't always like very complicated technology, but it's about maybe using existing tools in new ways. And so again, especially with the last year, I mentioned this before, the pandemic has really forced everyone to find different ways to communicate. And so, you know, almost all our members have moved a lot of their service provision online, anything that's possible. And again, it's like using existing tools in new ways. Like, we have one member from the Philippines, and she used a Facebook page that's very simple to provide support to overseas Filipino workers and their families. So through this Facebook page, you know, a lot of workers from the Philippines have reached out as they're hoping to be repatriated when the borders were closed. And they have, a lot of them have experienced employer abuse, but they're not really able to get help from the agencies. So, you know, through this member and their Facebook page, they are connecting the workers with social workers who then take on like the role of a middleman, and they kind of be the link between the workers and the relevant private and government agencies that are actually mandated to help. So this will be one example of new programs and just how we see members adopt technology, and this way also be just more effective.
Yeah, that is very cool. So from what you're saying is that anti-trafficking organizations are pretty innovative and also willing to work together. Is this your general feeling? There are so many organizations in this field and not everyone shares the same approach or vision. Do you think organizations can still collaborate despite having different views?
That's a good question. In my experience, I think they can. You know, I think one of the main challenges is simply that NGOs often wouldn't communicate with each other. Mm. And so they wouldn't actually know what others are working on, you know, their motivations and also what challenges they're facing. And, you know, what we're aiming to change through Freedom Collaborative is to provide more opportunities to connect and share stories. So what I have seen is that you know, it doesn't really matter so much that there might be differences in approaches. I mean, it's actually a good thing that not every organization is doing the same thing. You know, we know human trafficking exploitation is such a complex problem. And so it's actually really good that there's a variety of different approaches and actors involved, and they can really focus on different aspects of the response. And, you know, it doesn't really matter so much once people start to talk with each other. I feel even though there are differences, when people come together and share stories and experience, they also usually realize that they face similar challenges, and often also how they can support each other, even though they are focused on different aspects of the response. So I think it's really about enabling better communication and, you know, it's human relationships, about creating understanding. And this is what we always try to support. Like, we try to share a diversity of opinions and views. And, you know, we share what others are working on for newsletters, but bringing diverse partners together for webinar discussions and other initiatives. So, you know, it's about how we can get people to work on something together and kind of experience collaboration. This is what we do, and we found this works really well, because then people realize, you know, the differences that don't need to be the most important. We can actually find something that we can agree on and that we can work on together.
Yeah, absolutely. I also participated at some of your events and having opportunity to speak with others who are outside India is really helpful. And just hearing that they face similar challenges and how they have dealt with the problems is really inspiring.
Yeah, I think, you know, you used inspiring. I think that's the right word. I'm always thinking about how privileged I am. I often get asked, you know, what inspires me on working on ending human trafficking. And I'm always tell everyone that I'm really just so grateful as I get to see, you know, firsthand really how many activists and advocates there are that really care and that go out into communities every day. So, you know, this is not very glamorous work, and it takes a lot of emotional energy, as you know. And you know, there is a lot of resources. You're not getting paid a huge salary. But then, so I think it's really inspiring to see how many people there are still, you know, who are doing this work and who are really, I don't know, standing in and being warriors for social justice. I think that's just truly inspiring. And so I'm grateful that I have the opportunity to support them in their work. You know, if I can connect them with a useful contact or provide some resources that might help them in their work, I think, you know, I'm really grateful that this is something I'm able to do. And it also gives me hope to see that there are actually so many people working to make a change.
Yeah, I love it. Okay, so we are coming towards the end of this episode. So I wanted to ask you what resources you can recommend to our listeners that are maybe just starting to learn more about human trafficking and looking for ways to learn more and getting involved.
Right. I think this podcast will be a good start. So hopefully you'll get a lot of listeners. Well, you know, I do recommend going to Freedom Collaborative and having a look at the content and resources. It's really a low barrier way and like an easy way to just get an overview of what are the current issues and discussions. And everybody can, even if you're not part of an organization, you can sign up as an individual and be part of the community. And so this means you'll receive all our communication. And, you know, we work with partners around the world. All our communication is really sharing their updates. So it gives a very broad overview and also includes other resources to check out, you know, if there's topics within this field you're particularly interested in, you might find them linked in the Freedom Collaborative newsletter. And then we also have a new podcast series that's linked on the website. We have been working on this podcast with the USAID Asia City project. It's called Labor of Loss. And in this podcast, we tell stories about exploitation across Asia. So we're looking at different industries from fishing to domestic work and palm oil plantations. And in each episode, we tell a story and it really gives us an analysis of the systemic issues that contribute to exploitation, but also, you know, what needs to be changed to protect vulnerable populations more effectively. And obviously also follow Cross Global. Well, I think you guys are doing, you know, doing such a fantastic job to share more about the issue in India and more generally. So I think, you know, everybody who's listening, hopefully they can follow you on the various channels as well.
Yeah, wonderful. Thank you for the shout out, Julia. And thank you so much for your time to speak. I think this was great. Thank you everyone for listening. And please follow along for our future episodes. Speak with you soon.
Thank you so much, Kamal. Thank you, everyone.
Hey, thank you so much for watching and listening to this episode. Please follow us for more content related to human trafficking. And please do share this with your friends. This means the world to us. This is Nammaludaiya Kural, Makkalukkaga.